This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Amen. Please remain standing.
All right, thank you for standing. We're going to take our Bibles. We're going to go to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we will begin reading in verse number 18. And that should be a fairly familiar reference for you. If you've been coming to church for a little while, you understand what we're about to read is called the Great Commission. And I think it's important that we study it, we learn it, and that we do it, because I think that's something that Jesus told us to do, and I think it's one of the chief things that he told us to do. And so we'll begin reading in verse number 18. We'll read down through the end of the chapter and the end of the book of Matthew. So verse number 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you are doing in our hearts and our lives. I pray, God, that you would continue to do that as we kind of reset our lives to your word. And that we would clear away some of the things that have gotten in the way of our faithfulness to you and our desire to serve you. And God, I pray that you'd help us to give attention to your word, to your will, and ultimate God, that we walk in your way. And I pray now that you bless this morning's service, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. It's true, and I think that all of us can recognize that and understand that in life, it's really easy to get distracted with a lot of things, in a lot of areas. It's really easy to become consumed with agendas and programs that really don't help us accomplish the mission that Jesus gave us. As individuals, we do that. As families, we do that. As a church, we can do that. And I believe that every church kind of has their niche, the thing that they're good at. Some churches are really good at ministering to homeless. I think that's good. Some churches are really good at ministering to those with kids. I think that's good. Some churches are really good with ministering to the elderly. I think that's good.
We can have our niche, but nothing should ever keep us from fulfilling what Jesus called us to do in life. And all those areas that I just mentioned can actually be and should be fulfillment of the Great Commission. But the thing is sometimes we can get distracted about pursuing things as a church that really aren't the Great Commission. And I don't know that our church is necessarily guilty of that in 2019, but I definitely see a culture that's becoming consumed, as Christians become consumed, with different things that aren't Christ and that aren't His commission. And so I want to make sure that we as a church take the time to reset and accomplish the mission that Jesus gave us. So I want to read it again for you. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What I love about this is our mission. This is it. And if we had a mission statement, that should be it, right? That's what we should be doing as a church. And everybody has their part to play in that mission. We're a body. And so you say, well, I'm not necessarily a great evangelist. And although you try to tell people about Jesus Christ, it's not necessarily your gift and your skill. And there's things that you can do that can help and support and strengthen. Maybe you're an encourager and you can encourage those that do have some gift with evangelism. And you can encourage somebody. And so we work together as a church to fulfill that mission. But again, it's so easy for us to become distracted. Whether it's things that happen economically, whether it's things that are happening politically, whether it's things that are happening at our workplace, or things that are happening within our family, there's a lot of things that can take up our time, our energy, and our resources. And so we want to, in 2020, clear away all the clutter and get back to the things that are important to the cause of Christ. Get back to the things that are important to help us fulfill our mission. And so there's four areas, and usually we break these up by quarter, and we're not necessarily going to do that this year, although I do want to emphasize each one of these things in our preaching. And so one of the things that we want to reset in 2020 to help us fulfill the mission that God has called us to fulfill is our identity. Our identity. And we know that we live in a culture that is struggling with identity, right? It's amazing to me. And we talk about acceptance, we talk about these different things, and we have people that are struggling with their identity. Big time. Across the board. From all areas of life. And so we want to reset our identity. What does it mean to be a child of God? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we want to reset to that identity. You are a child of God. And you've heard me talk about this. I talked about it last night. I'm going to talk about it some more. Because for me, I got my identity messed up. I began to identify myself as a pastor. Now, I am a pastor, or that's something that I do. But that's not who I am. I am a child of God who God has called to be or to fulfill the role of a pastor in this church. But that's not who I am. Who I am is a child of God. And if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you've been born again, if you've received Him, He gave you the power to be a child of God, a son of God. And we understand that. And that's an amazing truth and a powerful truth. And it'll change your life when you understand that. And when you live in that truth. And we got to be careful about that. And the reason why I think it's important for us as a church is our church is not a new church. Right? It's been here a while. And that's good. That's great. That's a wonderful thing. And our church has members that have been Christians for a long time. And that too is great. Right? Wonderful. Those are all good qualities. But for me, the idea of knowing your identity as a new Christian is not something we have to talk about. We have a new Christian, and he'll be here, Lord willing, in the next service. He was there last night. It's Brent Obrero. Just got saved last year. Amazing testimony for them and what God has done in their life. And this incredible transformation. He's hungry for the Word of God. But I don't have to remind him of his identity as a child of God. You know why? It's fresh. He just got saved. He just began to understand what it meant to be a child of God. And you'll see a new Christian as they understand what it means to be a child of God. They're zealous. They're excited. They're happy to be a part of it. Wow, this is all new. It's all amazing. It's all exciting. And that's good. But as you grow as a Christian, you begin to add to your faith some things, some good things. And the Bible tells us to do that. And you begin to add some distinctions to our Bible doctrine, to our understanding of the Word of God. And distinctions in the Christian life are very important. They are. It's important to have some distinctions, some ideas and things that we believe about the Bible. For a lot of Christians that are new and young, they're not going to understand the importance of the virgin birth necessarily. It's not something they're going to say, hey, you know, this is an important Bible doctrine. They're just excited to be a child of God. It's amazing for them. And that's good, right? We need that in our church. We need that energy. We need that excitement to remind us of the newness and the freshness. But we also need, at the same time, some believers who have some distinctions in their theology, in their understanding of the Word of God. And that's important. And as we make those distinctions by definition become defining characteristics of our faith. And those distinctions often have names, right? We would talk about, we believe the rapture to happen before the tribulation. And that distinction comes from studying the Word of God. And that comes, the Bible theology term for that is a pre-tribulation rapture, right? That's a distinction. We appreciate it. That's important. But if we're not careful, we let those distinctions become our identity as an older Christian. And this, again, it's really important to have these distinctions, but not who you are. And I'll hear people all the time, that we are an independent Baptist church, right? We are free from denomination control. Our church is governed within its own body, and I think that's healthy. I think that's good. I think that's biblical. And we even believe the fundamentals of the faith. We believe the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God is very important to us, as it should be, I think, to any believer. But I have heard people, when I say, who are you, they will say to me, they will respond to me by saying, hey, I'm an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist. All great distinctions, all distinctions I would identify with, except for the fact that's not who you are. Who are you? You're a child of God. That's who you are. Yes, there are distinctions that come later in your Christian life, and those are all good and healthy, I think. Most of them anyway. But you have to understand who you are as a child of God. And so for me, it's important that we reset our identity. Even for older Christians, I think this is most important, that you remind yourself what it means just to be his child. What it means just to be his son or his daughter and be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Yes, don't misunderstand me. We need to have those distinctions. But it doesn't matter how important the distinction is, if it becomes your identity, it will hurt you. And over time, I've seen this happen too. When we allow these distinctions to become our identity, your ministry will lack devotion. For me, when I began to identify myself as a pastor, your ministry begins to lack devotion. You're not as excited about it. You're not as passionate about it. And it doesn't wake you up in the morning and say, man, what can I do to serve God today? What can I do to minister today? You've lost your wonder as a child of God. And so again, we need to reset that devotion. One of the things that happens to us is we stop listening to those closest to us. We need to have accountability. The ability for somebody to have the ability to take account of our lives and our heart. Somebody to be able to say, hey, you know, I appreciate that distinction. I think it's a good distinction, but that distinction is becoming who you are. It's becoming your identity, and I don't think that's healthy. Really? You think so? Okay. Wow, I need to think about it. Thank you for sharing your perspective with me. I appreciate that. Whereas if we begin to identify by those things, we become offended by that. We say, hey, what do you mean by that? Don't talk to me about that. And we become offended when that becomes our identity, because now they're attacking the core of who you are. I would say if somebody begins to question your identity as a child of God, that should be a case for offense. What do you mean I'm not a child of God? What do you mean I'm not a joint heir with Jesus Christ? What do you mean he doesn't love me? I'm his child. Of course he loves me. Of course he's reserved a place in heaven for me. That does become offensive. But when something that is not your identity becomes your identity, and then somebody questions that, and you become offended at that, you stop listening to other people. And that's extremely unhealthy. We also, ministry becomes burdensome. Just something as simple as reading our Bible or praying or getting to church, it becomes a burden. Man, yes, when we come to Jesus, his burdens, there is a burden, but when we come to Jesus as a child of God, his burdens are light. Paul talked about the light affliction, which when you read it, wasn't that light. But because of his identity as a child of God, it seemed to him to be light. I mean, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was thrown in prison. All these terrible things. Stoned, left for dead. Oh, that's a light affliction. I would say, Paul, I mean, don't want to argue with you there. We don't want to argue with the word of God, but man, that seems to be pretty heavy. But it wasn't to him because of his relationship as a child of God. But if you don't have that as your key focus, even the lightest burdens will become heavy. Ministry will become burdensome. Then we begin to live in isolation. And the reason for this, even though we come to church and we say hi to people, we say aloha to people, we begin to isolate our true emotions, our true heart from people, because we don't want them to see what might not match up with the way we appear to be. It's called putting on a mask. People who put on masks struggle with their identity. They do. If you're a child of God, no reason to put on a mask. It's amazing. No shame, no guilt. No, I'm a child of God. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. It's who I am. And I don't need a mask. Am I imperfect? Yep. Yep. Am I a sinner? Yep. That's the amazing thing about God. God loves sinners. He died for sinners. He empowers sinners. He fills sinners. He uses sinners. He uses you. You're his child. And that's an amazing thing. No place for masks when you understand your identity as a child of God. And second thing, the last thing that you do is you begin to question your calling. Am I saved? Does God really love me? If something else has taken the identity of your life. In 2020, we seek to reset our identity as a child of God. And I'm excited to talk about it. I'm excited to get there with you because I think it's vitally important for us as Christians. The second thing that we want to reset, again, in order to help us fulfill the mission that God has called us to fulfill, is our priorities. The scripture verse that I have for this is Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How do we seek the kingdom? First, right? We seek the kingdom of God first. And not just the kingdom of God, but also his righteousness. These two things we seek first. Amazing about this is when the but is there, because there's this whole list of things that comes prior to that we would typically seek first. Our provision, our housing, all these things that we would normally say put first. In fact, in our financial seminar, we talk, and Dave Ramsey talks about the four walls, the four priorities that you have to build in your house, the things that you need to have, absolute necessities. You pay these first. Seeking the kingdom of God comes first before that in our priorities. And he says, all these things shall be added unto you. Our priorities are vitally important. When it comes to your priorities, what you do is just as important as why you do it. What's your priorities? Why is that number one? Why are you doing that? What comes first in your life and why? What are you living for in 2020? When you made your list of resolutions, I don't know if you make resolutions. It's so funny because I hear people say, resolutions are bad. You know, you should live like that all the time. Resolutions are good. They're a great way to reset, right? There's different ways to look at it. I like resolutions for the most part, and I think it's good. But if you did make a resolutions list, or if you have a list that you have without all the year long, what's first? What's first on your list of priorities in 2020 that we call resolutions? That's the idea. We want to challenge ourselves with this. Are we doing what we can to fulfill the mission that God has called us to fulfill because we've reset our priorities to his, to align with his will. Are we truly seeking first the kingdom of God? Is that our priority? Goals. I love goals too. I think it's important to set goals. Set realistic goals. Set obtainable goals. Set benchmarks that you can go for in your life.
One of the things with our worker meeting that we were talking about before that, I was talking to Anwar about it, and I was like, yeah, you know, one of my goals for this is that we double it by 2021. He reminded me that that might not be the best goal.
And I agreed. The best goal for me that I kind of adopted was I want to just pour into the lives of those that would be there and fill them up with the Word of God and fill them up with everything I can, because that's what I want. That's ultimately the goal that I had. The reason why we did it is to pour into everybody, to give them everything we can, to give them the resources that they need to live a productive Christian life. That's my goal. Whatever happens outside of that, wonderful. It's great. Doesn't happen, that's fine.
Set goals that are realistic. Set goals that are practical. Set goals that put first the kingdom of God.
Which, with all the noise of culture, the busyness of life, and the demands that we have, it's interesting, I have kids, and my kids are involved in sports, and it's tough. Because every coach in every league and every team wants that team and league to be the priority. We're going to have people come and say, we're going to have 3 practices a week. You're at every practice. Actually, we are signing our kids up for soccer already, and I got the email from the coach, and it says that those who do not attend all of the practices will see less playing time. Isn't that great? What does that mean? That has to become a priority, or my kid's going to suffer. And with all of that going and all the pressures of life, and there's a lot of pressure. There are some things where people will say that they're involved in. If you don't show up, you're cut. And then there's church, right? We want to go to church too, but honestly, if you don't show up to church, we don't cut you. Yet. I think that kind of pressure is unhealthy. But the reality is yeah, you have to juggle all these things. And it is tough. There's the pressures of finances, there's the pressures of work, there's the pressures of all this stuff. And the still, small, quiet voice of God is, seek me first. Seek me first. And that's coming to our hearts. It's coming to our minds. And in 2020, I want to reset our priorities to put him, his kingdom, his righteousness first. So that we might be more effective in our mission.
The next area that we want to reset in 2020 for being able to fulfill our mission is the mission itself. Witness. We want to be a witness. Acts 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. Be a witness. Be a testimony for Jesus Christ. And I think that there's many different aspects, and I don't want to get one that's more important than the other, but part of our witness is our life. It is. You cannot live a life that's not consistent with the truths of Scripture, not in a legalistic way, but in the truth that just loves God, your identity is in Christ. And if you're not living in that, and then try to witness people to come to that, it's one of the most hypocritical things that you can do. And so, yes, it is our life, but it's also our mouth. You want to be a witness. You want to be a testimony. You got to tell folks about Jesus. Invite folks to come to church. Just invite. It's interesting to me that last night there was a story that was told to me about a church on Oahu. One of our members went to this church, and the pastor of that church was giving an illustration about his own life, kind of confessing his sin, which I think is healthy. But he's saying that there was a man that he knew in his life, and the man found out that he was a pastor. And they've known each other for years. He said, man, I didn't even know you were a pastor, and you never one time invited me to church. The pastor was very convicted by that. He said, you know what, you're right. Because I was worried about it ruining or affecting our relationship. And the guy was like, I was looking for an invite. What's amazing about that is most people are.
I know we have this, we have a culture that we, again, we put on masks. A lot of those masks are, I don't need anybody, I don't need anything, I'm fine with the way I am. But the reality is, there's usually a heart that's hurting. There's usually a heart that's longing for a community. There's usually a heart that's longing for forgiveness and acceptance and the love of God. And that's what we have. And if we'll invite them to that, most of them, maybe they might not take you up on the first invite, but they'll appreciate it. Most people aren't jerks. Some are. We've got to sift through those, right? But most people are just saying, hey, you invited me to church. Thank you. That means a lot to me. We're talking about our assimilation process for our church, and one of the things that we want to do is just extend hospitality. Even if the person doesn't take it, they at least know that we care. And it's the same thing we want to do with our witness. We want to get and say, hey, you know, there's a place where you can belong. It's at our church. Because I belong there. I'd like to invite you to. Simple. That means something. Even last night, we were talking to one of the maitre d' of the restaurant that we were at and inviting her to church. And she says, yeah, I'm looking for a church. I would like to come check it out. Who would have thought? Right? They're everywhere. Let's witness. The verse for this is Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But I already read it. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. The truth is that God left you on this planet for a reason, as a child of God. I thought about this. I'm sure you have. Why did not he just call us home to heaven the moment we trusted Christ? There's only one thing that we can do here that we can't do better in heaven. Everything else, our worship is better in heaven, our prayer is better in heaven, everything else is better in heaven. Everything. Except for the opportunity to witness. That's it. We worship here, yes, but we worship in broken bodies. We pray here, but yes, we pray here with limited understanding. It's a struggle here for a child of God. The one thing we can do that we can't do there, that we should do here, is witness. That's his commission. And we want to reset our witness. The final thing is to reset our discipleship. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In this verse, we see it in this verse, and we understand this is true of discipleship. Discipleship is something that should happen to us and that we should bring to others. He says, the things that thou hast heard of me. So this is Timothy. It's Paul speaking to Timothy. Timothy was a disciple of Paul. Timothy was gaining information, knowledge from Paul. At the same time, he was to take that information and commit it to others. And so in discipleship, my goal for our church, and it's part of the Great Commission, the things that thou hast heard of me, the Bible says to teach those things that we've heard of him and that he's given to us, teaching them to deserve all things whatsoever I've commanded you, that's the part of the Great Commission, that's discipleship. So there's two aspects of that. One is our learning and our commitment to being growing in that relationship, and then our commitment also to giving it to somebody else. And we want to reset that in 2020 and say, hey, that's something I want to be a part of. I want to grow spiritually, and I want to help somebody else grow spiritually in 2020. That's the mission that God has called us to do. So for me, I'm excited to reset in 2020. I hope you are too. And again, all of these things, two of them, the final two, are the actual Great Commission, and the first two are things that I think are vitally important for us to be able to fulfill the Great Commission. If you lose your identity, you lose your ministry. If you lose your priorities, you have no time to do what God called us to do. And you become that thorny ground where the seed grows and fruit is produced, but it doesn't grow to maturity because the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Boy, do we have a culture that is full of the cares of this life, and boy, do we have a culture that's deceived by riches. And we don't want to be caught in the same trap to not be able to fulfill the mission that he's called us to fulfill. So that's what we're going to be doing in 2020. I'm excited about it. I hope you're excited about it. I hope you say, yeah, I need some of these areas in my life. I hope you'll commit to to being a part of the process, being accountable, being open. Let's get rid of the masks. Let's just be children of God together, love each other, support each other, and strengthen each other, and grow together as a church family. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. God, I do pray and I ask that you would speak to our hearts. As we get in your word, as we pray and have a relationship with you, and as we get back to knowing who we are as a child of God, as we get back to putting you first and foremost in our lives, as we reset our witness, as we reset our discipleship, and God, may you do a mighty and powerful thing with us. We pray now that you bless this invitation. We pray that you use it in our hearts and our lives, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymn book, and we're going to hymn number 10. The song is called, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Hymn number 10.
I have decided to follow Jesus.